I'm Steve Cole, live in our Carbondale studios with News Director Gavin Dahl.
Good morning, Steve. Glenwood Springs City Council meets today with an executive session at 9:30 and work sessions on bridges, the annual budget, and commercial truck restrictions in downtown. The regular council meeting this evening starts at 6. In Rifle, an event this evening called After the Boom, the economic aftermath of falling natural gas prices, will explore how the downturn has impacted the economy and finances of Garfield County. Big cuts expected for the libraries. We'll be reporting on that next week. Ann Driggers, Garco Finance Director, will make the presentation at the Rifle Branch Library tonight at 6. For candidates trying to woo Latino voters this election season, there's nothing more important than immigration, right? Wrong. Poll after poll shows Latinos are more concerned about the effects of climate change than voters overall, that reducing smog and protecting water scored higher than immigration reform. As H2O Radio's Franny Halpern reports, Latinos are ready to support candidates who commit to protecting the environment.
When Mark Magana was 6 years old, he remembers not being able to go out and play. And even when he could go outside his Southern California home to play soccer or tag, he'd find it hard to breathe, even on days that seemed perfectly fine. Having air quality warnings in the Los Angeles area was nothing out of the ordinary. No one was shocked, no one panicked. Brown skies are part of the scenery, and kids just knew to make sure they had their inhalers in their pockets.
It wasn't something that we recognized was odd, that shouldn't happen.
Mark's the founder of a group called Green Latinos, and he's speaking at the America's Latino Eco Festival here in Denver.
We adapted. We would go out and play even on the days when it wasn't bad. We'd come back home and we'd have a hard time breathing. Sometimes we'd vomit for relief, but that just became normal.
He's telling the audience of scientists, educators, policymakers, and advocates that once he grew up, he came to recognize that the polluters, for the sake of cheap energy, were fouling air and water where he lived. But that wasn't the pivotal time when he became active in the environmental movement.
My moment when I had enough came about 3 years ago.
He had brought his then baby daughter to his mother's bedside in the hospital.
She sat with my mother and blessed my daughter and sang to her and told her she'd always be there for her. A couple days later, my mother passed from leukemia. And it was a leukemia that stems from industrial pollutants, from benzene and other industrial pollutants. Everyone here has their moment when they said, this is enough. I'm not going to adapt anymore. I'm not going to accept the way things are.
It's well documented that low-income communities of color are disproportionately impacted by environmental toxins. Just this month, a new study found that in metropolitan areas of the U.S., one in three economically disadvantaged Latino immigrant neighborhoods is exposed to cancer-causing air pollution coming from refineries, factories, car exhausts, and other sources. So even though Mark knew there was an environmental justice issue at play, and even though he went on to found Green Latinos, he says he never thought of himself as an eco-warrior.
If someone had asked me, are you an environmentalist, are you a conservationist, I would have given him a blank stare.
Indeed, the mainstream looks at the environmental movement as something you join. You pay your dues and you're a card-carrying member, even if you do nothing else.
They don't consider that our environmentalism is cultural. Our environmentalism is internal. It's within our family. It's our daily life.
I believe that Latinos have a cultural connection to connect, preserving and caring for mi tierra, the land, to eat every part of the animal, to conserve, reuse, repurpose everything that you have.
Talking with Mark outside the auditorium, he says caring for the earth is something that's passed down from generation to generation.
I think of going into our refrigerator and not knowing what's in the butter container. It could be beans, it could be butter, it could be rice, it could be chile, it could be who knows what. Eating menudo, which is intestine, lengua, tongue, sesos, brain, you know, conserving everything that you had and not being wasteful. And that was part of our culture. It wasn't the issue of, are you an environmentalist? It was an issue of, are you living in symbiosis with the land and with the air and the water?
And it's that legacy of caring for the planet and being good stewards of natural resources that those attending this conference want to validate. They want to dispel myths that Latinos are a single-issue block focused only on immigration, because nothing could be further from the truth, and they have the numbers to prove it.
So we did some polling recently, and we did it with Earth Justice and a polling firm called Latino Decisions.
They surveyed Latinos to gauge their concern about various environmental issues.
When they did their analysis and asked the question, how concerned are you about climate change? They found that the percentile of people who said yes, or highly concerned, greatly concerned, was higher than it was for immigration or education. And that shocked them.
So much so that they considered not releasing the findings, even though poll after poll found the same result.
There was almost a concern that maybe we should suppress this finding so as to not offend Latinos who do have a historic interest in immigration.
Yeah, we're not a monolithic group.
That's Nicole Hernandez-Hammer, a biologist with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
We come from different countries. Our Spanish is different. We have a variety of cultures within the Latino community. But there are certain things that we all have in common, and one of those things is our concern for the environment.
Hernandez came all the way from South Florida to attend this conference because, to her, climate change is very much a Latino issue.
It really is a Latino issue because we are so disproportionately vulnerable. According to NOAA, about 39% of the U.S. population lives in coastal counties, but 49% of the Latino population lives in coastal counties. So we're going to be feeling the brunt of sea level rise impacts, but also more intense storms because of climate change.
And nowhere is that more obvious than the part of Florida where she lives.
So Miami is almost 70% Latino.
And because it sits pretty close to sea level, the city has seen an increase in what Hernandez says are called sunny day floods.
So flooding when there hasn't been any rain, it's because of the king tides. So when we get the highest tides of the year because we're so flat, that water, that extra salt water, comes up through our storm system.
She says it's hard to put solutions together because canals that were built to let water drain out during storms are now letting salt water in.
You can't really build seawalls the way you might in New Orleans or in the Netherlands because the water just comes up from underneath them.
The solution at present is pumping, but that's extremely expensive. And the energy to remove that water comes mostly from fossil fuels, not renewables. An irony that's not lost on Hernandez.
So we're actually contributing more to climate change in order to save our little part of the world, or at least to just keep it around a little bit longer. And since we are one of the first major cities that are dealing with this degree of sea level rise and climate change impacts, then I think we have the moral obligation to set the standard for how adaptation should work and about how that should absolutely come from renewable energy.
So is this a sleeper issue that politicians should wake up to? From what we've heard today, the candidates who protect the environment will do better with Latino voters.
Well, I think politicians are starting to pay attention to the issues that we're most concerned about, and climate change is right at the top of that list.
But perhaps more to the point?
Yeah, I think folks are starting to realize that we are a political powerhouse, mm-hmm. and that that the issues that matter to us are important. So, it's a great opportunity for us to help make the country more sustainable and lead us towards a clean energy economy.
Reporting from Denver, Colorado, I'm Franny Halperin, and you're listening to H2O Radio.
H2O Radio is online at h2oradio.org. Their mission to raise awareness about water. For KDNK News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
George Killian is an organizer with the Koperg Foundation in town for a voter registration drive at Colorado Mountain College. She's stopped by KDNK to speak to News Director Gavin Dahl.
For folks who don't know, tell us about the Koperg Foundation.
Yeah, so the Koperg Foundation is the Colorado Public Interest Research Group Foundation. And we are a group that, during the election season, do an awesome project called the New Voters Project, getting as many people to register to vote and get them out voting as possible.
specifically targeting folks who are not already registered or haven't voted in the past.
Yeah, so that's the idea behind the New Voters Project, is to get as many people newly registered and then newly voting. Registering to vote is super easy, but people often don't know how to do it. And so we're just trying to make that easier for people.
What's significant about back to school? A lot of first-time voters eligible out there, you might find?
Yeah, absolutely. The Koperk Foundation focus is on college campuses. And the reason for that is that young people are often one of the biggest demographics that aren't voting. It's not necessarily that they don't want to. A lot of the times it's just that they don't know how to.
And when you say how to vote, you don't mean what to vote for, but how to actually place their vote.
Right, of course. So we're a nonpartisan group. We don't care how you vote. We just want you to do it. You know, democracy is super important. And one of the ways to have a healthy functioning democracy is having as many people voting as possible. We just want you to stand up and have a voice.
You had a chance to get up to the Colorado Mountain College campus with the beautiful views.
Yeah.
What was your take on the setting of that campus up there?
Man, it is so beautiful. From basically every point that looks towards Mount Soberus, they all have like huge windows there and just beautiful greens that look out into the mountains.
What did you learn about students while doing this work?
Many students are already registered to vote, but may be registered in another part of Colorado across the state. And they really should be registered in the place that they live and they receive mail. And that is significant because as of the 2014 elections, Colorado does mail-in ballots. So everyone who is registered to vote will get a ballot in the mail and will be responsible for either mailing it in or dropping it off somewhere. So if you're not at your address to receive that ballot, the Secretary of State won't know that you're not getting your ballot in the mail. So one of the biggest things for me was just making sure that I asked students, you know, not just are you registered to vote, but are you registered to vote at your current address? And that goes for anyone in Colorado. You want to make sure you get that ballot in the mail. You want to make sure you're making it as easy as possible for yourself to be able to vote.
George Killian, organizer with Koperk Foundation. Thanks for stopping by, Katie and Kay.
Thank you.
To change or verify your mailing address before the election, you can go to govotecolorado.com or call your local county clerk's office, because democracy is super important.